And now, Lisa, welcome to the studio.
Morning now. What a beautiful morning, Aaron. What a change.
Oh, it's such a relief, isn't it?
Can make.
Yeah, yeah. It is a big change. So we're going to talk council stuff. Lisa Thompson is our councillor, if anyone listening doesn't know that. You've been a councillor for a while, so I presume people do by now. They've picked it up. You weren't at the community board meeting because you weren't so well that day.
No, I was sick the whole week. We had a hui at our marae at Motuko Tuko on the weekend. And then by the Sunday evening, I wasn't feeling great. And then I was sick basically the entire week.
Right.
With some sort of flu-y thing.
That's not right, but that's what happened.
Unfortunately, I missed out on the community board hui, which was our first one that we did out of Raglan, which is great.
Yeah, so at the Tiuku Hall.
Which I think was fantastic. I spoke with Dennis, and he said they had just as many people attend the Tiuku Hall community board meeting as we would have had here at the supper room. So that's fantastic. So
there was a good turnout, and it was very wet at the time, so some people would have been forgiven for staying home. John Lawson, of course, biked out.
I know, I
heard
that.
And his raincoat left a big puddle where he sat. Hi, John, you'll be listening to this later, I know.
Well done.
So, commitment there from everybody. So there were locals there as well that we might not have seen come into Raglan.
So, that's exactly right. So it's awesome that we're doing that outreach. So, you know, we'll be coming back to Raglan, then we'll be going out to Timata as well. So watch these spaces so you know when we'll be coming closer to your area if you're not living in Raglan.
Yeah, and something that you, Lisa, just asked me off the air about one thing that you were interested in, which was the EV discussion, the electric vehicle charging point. And it was concluded that over on Stewart Street would be the best location.
There's a little bit of space there.
People will be more relaxed around that area.
That's exactly right. And unlike, you know, the Well car charger here by the Town Hall, which is off street, you know, the proposal is to take, use on-street parking, car parks that already exist. And we know that parking is always high on the agenda for our community, where we are not putting EV users and other vehicle users in conflict, it would be great if it could go to Stewart Street or in another area, just out of the CBD, but within reasonable, you know, within walking distance of the CBD.
Yeah, so that was the conclusion of the discussion. I guess the technical guys have still got to go and check all their stuff before
that's
it gets
exactly
confirmed.
Right, because the proposal in town on Muller Street was because of the transformer.
Yeah, they have to be somewhere where there's a truckload of power.
Yeah, because the fast charge EV chargers actually require more charge, so you need a little bit more oomph in order to do that and quickly, so they're not there all day.
Yeah, that's the 30-minute charge, yeah. So other things that we've been kind of tracking over the last few weeks is we've always been wanting, it seems like for a year now, CCTV camera upgrades in town, and there was some funding, and we're waiting for other people to tell us if we're getting it, aren't we?
We've got the funding. We just have to wait for that.
So we is the region or the district?
The district.
The district is?
The district. So, you know, we successfully had 19 projects that were funded through the Better All funding through central government, which was part of the Three Waters reform package, and the first tranche of money that came out of that. So part of one of those projects were the CCTV for Raglan, Huntly, Tamahere, and a few other communities across the district. So we were successful in that. We are just waiting for that money to be signed off and come to council from central government.
Right.
So it is a work in progress. I met with Andrew Murphy and Alice from the police station on Tuesday or Wednesday this week, actually, and of course the CCTV came up. We had a discussion around road safety up at Raglan Area School. Doing some planning around there.
How are things up there? Because we know that's
it's congested.
Congestion is
it's a bit of a dog's
most
breakfast.
Congested place apart from the bridge at Sound Splash.
That's exactly right. Raglan, so it's very congested, and it's congested, you know, drop off time for school and pick up. So what can we do? And in fact, it was good timing because the new Board of Trustees, although we're not so new now, we've got a working group for looking at road safety at school, and so we're proposing to meet later this month to get some energy behind that. We had started it pre-COVID, but obviously things went a bit pear-shaped, and so we need to reignite that. So if there are any community members or parents from Raglan Area School that are listening to this interview, feel free to contact the board or the school if you'd like to be part of that sort of road safety planning, because it's going to take more than just the school addressing the congestion and the road safety.
It's a challenging spot.
And it requires a lot of thought and people to come on board to, you know, feel safe when their children are walking, perhaps not using the car to drop their kids off. But anyway, if you want to be part of that, please reach out to the Board of Trustees.
Okay. So at the wharf, you were just telling me off the air that there's going to be an art installation at the wharf, which I hadn't actually, was not something I'd picked up on amongst all the work happening down there.
It's fantastic, actually. So, you know, with the two lots of funding that we've had from MB and also another one from the Better Off funding.
So MB was the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment.
That's exactly right, or Kānoa. Yeah. And so we got the first part of the money. As you know, we were looking at this 4 years ago now, and then we were able to get funding for the rest of the wharf project through the Better Off funding, which is fantastic. So the wharf working group met on Tuesday with our staff, with Niall and Richard, and there was myself, Taruke, Dennis and Simon Te Whero, who is working on some installations at the wharf. And it's really exciting what he has proposed down there, as you know, to tie in that whole wharf project, which will include five stainless steel panels that will reflect our environment and species that are from here, with whakatauki, or what we call proverbs from here, that work in with each of those panels. He'll also be doing a big sculpture installation for the beginning of the wharf to welcome people in, visitors and community alike. So that's going to be quite...
Where is the beginning of the wharf? How do you describe it?
Well, where the walkway, where the current wooden walkway is, where the car park is there, closer towards, I guess, across from the wharf kitchen and bar.
So this town side of the silos.
That's exactly right.
That's where you feel like you've arrived at the wharf.
That's exactly right. So there'll be a big sculpture that Simon will be doing. There'll be between 4 and 8 information boards. We've yet to determine what the content of those boards will be. There are four proposed for the western walkway, and then 2 to 3 nearer the pontoon installation that we've got. And I went down yesterday and they're just putting in the footpath there underneath the pahutukawa trees that go to the pontoon. And then there'll be 3 wooden seats installed for down there as well, which Simon is going to be carving the seat backs, front and back, as well as doing the 5 stainless steel panels along the working side of the wharf with the whakatauki and whatever the species that he'll be putting there, whether they're fish or birds. So that's really exciting.
And you mentioned the pontoon walkway. That must be close to opening.
That's opening. The opening for that will be in June, and I can't remember the date, but the official opening of the entire wharf project will be closer to Christmas time, when the sculpture and the seating and the information boards and the completion of the 5 stainless steel panels will be all done, ready for the bigger, for the grand opening of the entire wharf project.
Okay. Will there still be that, what's called the Western Walkway, to come?
That will be
finished as well?
That will be finished for Christmas, before Christmas. So,
Where are we at with that? Because I knew it was out to tender or something like that.
That's all being completed. So we've got
the paperwork's completed.
Yeah, everything's completed. So we've engaged the builders on that, and so that's awesome. So that's why we could meet with Simon to go through what he has in his head, to put it out there. And the working group, our role is to flesh out the information that will be going on the 7 or 8 information panels that will be down there.
Okay, all right. So that's all go. Now, the community board went for a tour around the wastewater treatment plant and the water treatment plant
as well.
We did.
That was a couple of weeks ago, actually. And
it doesn't necessarily sound like a tourist event, but it's something that you're constantly talking about at council.
Because it's massive. You know, it has a massive impact on communities, our wastewater and our freshwater. So I, as you know, since becoming councillor, I've enjoyed getting to know intimately the wastewater treatment plant and the pumps,
yes.
In a previous term, going out and working with Roger, who was then our waters guy locally, on cleaning the pumps and things like that. So it was an opportunity really to go with our water care staff as a community board, because some of the community board members hadn't actually visited or talked about the wastewater treatment plant, or in fact had been to the freshwater treatment plant. You know, so it's always a good day out, so I enjoy it. And Fire Tilly Turner was in attendance as well, and she's very interested in environmental matters and, you know, wastewater treatment and
so
things like
our,
that.
So this is our Māori Ward councillor for
our
part of the district.
Which you interviewed last week.
Yeah, great interview with her. She's got a big job and a new job and a different job to kind of what you're doing, because she's got to build something new.
She is built for her something area. New, yeah. But also she comes with a real wealth of experience and just you know, being a kaumātua or a kuia within Waikato Tainui, she's very, very connected in the Māori community and understands that space. So she brings with her all of those relationships and her wisdom. Look, she's a mother of 8. So she comes from, yes. You know, so she's managed a big whānau, and they've built their own papakāinga as a whānau.
Yeah, that was when I interviewed her prior to the election. There was a really interesting story that I was just keen to talk about, this big family
yeah.
home.
Big family home, and they have a family business together as well, which is the Turner's Mussel Fritters. And so they're very busy. So she brings a lot of skill and passion to the council decision-making table. So she was out here for that tour as well. But we were also very privileged, her and I, to attend the initial blessing of the papakāinga whare that by the marae from the Newton whānau that morning. So that was very, very special, being able to go there with Mātua Sean, Mātua Paddy Carr and others to bless the new whare that are there. So I felt really privileged to be in that space.
So are there 2 or 3 new?
Four.
There's 4 on the site, because I drive past. I'm always keen to see how progress is going.
Yep, there are 4 whare on that site at the moment, and you know that there are going to be 22 altogether over time. And so, like I said, I was very privileged to be there that morning. And then we traipsed off to the wastewater treatment plant and had a walk through there, and then down to where you know, they monitor when the discharge is happening down there, and had a talk there. And, of course, then went up to the freshwater treatment plant, which is always a treat to go there, because
I don't know where that is. I know it's somewhere
actually,
on the way up the mountain. But
it's actually just past Extreme Zero Waste, about another 150 metres past the entrance to Extreme Zero Waste. Oh, probably about 250 metres actually on the left.
An unassuming track off the side of the road.
Oh,
probably.
You don't even know it's there. And then you drive down and out to come to this absolutely beautiful pool of pristine water. That's where we take the water from for the town supply. So just talking through that.
Which I have read will soon become fluoridated, because the government has instructed
through the
council to do that.
The Director General of Health. So we don't have a say over that. Yeah. It's actually from the Director General of Health for waters. That hasn't happened yet, that we've gone to that, but it is imminent in the future.
Yeah, okay. So some people are hearing that for the first time. They might not like it, but
I saw that there was some discussion on the notice board a couple of weeks ago, a question asked about that.
Yeah, that's actually how I found out, because someone on there had noted that, probably John Lawson.
I think it was someone else actually, but it has been...
someone did a search and found that.
Yeah, that's from central government, so...
That's, no, yeah, no argument with the centre. Well, people might want to, but we'll see how they go.
Yeah.
So, and while we're talking about wastewater and all that sort of thing, there's continuing work behind the scenes setting up for the land-based sewage treatment that's going to happen.
And we had a Zoom a couple of weeks ago just with a catch-up of where we're at with that and all of the work that's going on there. And, you know, that I think I said last time I was on the radio that it has been confirmed that we'll get an MBR put in about 2024-25, which actually is...
That's some special tech. I'm just calling it the special tech.
Yeah, special equipment that actually purifies the treated wastewater even more.
So the thing about the land-based sewage treatment that might sometimes get forgotten is it still has to be treated at the same place, and then it will be piped to a site.
And then distributed underground at that site. And the way that I sort of had it in my mind when Stephen was talking about, and Stephen Howard has been working on this project, crikey, probably for the last 4 years actually we've been working on this. It was probably toward the end of my first term that we started looking at what would the discharge look like for Raglan, given that the community overwhelmingly wants the discharge removed from the harbour and discharged to a land-based treatment. And so over the last 3 to 4 years, well, actually 4 years plus, we've been looking at that, and that's the benefit of having a relationship with a waters entity like Watercare, that they have that capacity and expertise to genuinely look at those options for communities like ours. And it's not a fast process getting to this point. Obviously, we've earmarked land, but then there is a process and what that might look like going into a relationship with that landowner and the capacity on that land to actually discharge.
So there's some little bit of science being done.
Oh, there's heaps of science.
Ground testing.
Yeah, ground testing.
All that sort of thing. So that's still going on. Very technical stuff.
Yeah, and as I've said in the past, you can actually find all of this information if you go into the Waikato District Council website and just put Raglan Wastewater Resource Consent, and it'll come up with that page that actually has all that information. And on that page as well, there is the information about the next Zoom Hui, which we have monthly now, as catch up of where we're at with the resource consent.
Yeah, okay.
So the options we've explored.
Yeah, I know that's the staff, I guess some council staff also. There was just lots of behind the scenes work going on.
And we're kind of sitting waiting for that work
to be done and reports to be produced, aren't
we?
Yeah, and there's lots of reports
and work that's already on that on the Waikato District Council website if you wish to go and look at it, and also the recording of the Zoom hui that we've had previously, so you can catch up with and become familiar and get up to date with the information that's being shared.
Okay, and you had a tour around Whangaroa with the mayor recently.
Yeah, that was yesterday actually. So I, in anticipation of that, I borrowed my nephew's Hilux, which is a bit of a beast, which is great because we had anticipated doing the whole ward, which would have included Waitatuna, and I wanted to go Waitatuna Valley Road and Old Mountain Road, but we actually ran out of time.
Okay, yeah.
So what we did do yesterday was we went to Raglan Food and did a tour with Tesh and her other manager there, which was great. And then we went from there up to Dreamview, and Jessica Hill graciously spent a good couple of hours with us. We did a walk around. We saw the production, spoke with, you know, her mum and others. Up there, we spoke with Lars from Raglan Gelato as well.
Yes, because they're up there as well, yep.
Yep, and also Mike from Raglan Chocolates, which was great, you know, to speak directly with the makers, you know, and what they're doing and the hard work they've put in, and, you know, just the collaboration that's happened up on site. You know, so that was great to do that. Then we drove from there up to Hutawai Road. We were going to go out to, I was going to drive Jackie up to the wind farm, And then around Lake Disappear, and then on to Te Papatapu, and then Phillips Road.
I'm sure the lake's there at the moment after the rain we've had.
But by the time we actually left Dreamview, it was already 12 o'clock. So
I'm sure Jackie enjoyed meeting Tish and Jess.
She really did because it had gone from an idea, as
our first female mayor as well, you know, like there's that whole
going there, and actually Jackie comes from a food distribution and beverage background as well in her previous life, and they were also distributors of coffee too. So food is in her background, that sort of distribution, and her dad also comes from a liquor background, I believe, you know, so, and distribution. So there's quite a lot of experience there. So it was really interesting.
One of the things I like about, like, all the people you mentioned there is, like, Raglan's known for a hippie idealistic kind of thing, and people might kind of dismiss that, but you just showed her four people there who've taken their ideals and implemented it into a business and making a successful business out of it. And that's exactly right.
And seeing,
that's a proof that the ideal can survive out there in the world
and having an idea. And then, you know, when Tish and Seb used to come into Trade Aid to get the coconut milk to, you know.
That's when you were running Trade Aid.
Trade Aid. And then, you know, Jess, she came to speak at Raglan Area School about her idea about doing what they're doing up at Dreamview, to having a new creamery. And, of course, Mike and his lovely partner working from home to now having, a base, up at Dreamview, I think is just fantastic. And the same with Raglan Gelato. So we talked about, you know, how do we, in our economic development, support the more artisan or those smaller businesses that do really well in communities. How can we support that? So we had a discussion about that. But also, driving our roads up Te Hutawai, which is, Jackie could see that, you know, Raglan isn't just about Raglan Township, but the beautiful rural backdrop and the challenges around, you know, how do we provide the services required to keep our roads.
How were the roads? Because I know some of the roads around Whangaroa have not handled the winter well.
So. Yeah, and we're just...
They haven't handled the summer well because it was so wet, that's what I should say. Yeah,
and so, you know, there were workers out on the road, but, you know, had a few grumbles from Rurupuki. Residents for the road condition. So it was good for Jackie to experience that firsthand, but also to go around the mountain. She hadn't been around the mountain before, so it's quite spectacular when you look down to Rurupuki Beach.
We
could stop and have a look down to Papanui, and then we stopped at Te Tortu.
So it was stormy yesterday.
The swell was massive.
It's beautiful right now, but it's also so dramatic out there. I'm sure yesterday was a very dramatic day.
It was dramatic and it was amazing, and it was the Wild West Coast as in its fine form. And it was her first time at Te Tortu, and then we drove around, obviously, and we stopped out at Manu Bay as well. So it was a good day, but we could do with another day because, like I said, we didn't do the wind farm or Papatapu.
You're the chair of the new Wellbeing and Sustainability Committee. For people who don't understand how council works, there's these important subcommittees, and there's a finance subcommittee and strategy subcommittees and things like that, infrastructure. Those aren't the proper names, but the new mayor created a Wellbeing and Sustainability Committee. She thought Lisa would be ideal. In her interview with me, that's what she said, to be the chair of that. And so it's a new committee, and council moves slowly. So does it feel like you're up and running and getting down to business, or are you still kind of trying to create it?
We're still fine-tuning it, but we're definitely hit the ground running. This Wednesday will be our third hui, actually.
Yeah.
So we've got our climate action progress update from Rachel Goddard, so I'm really looking forward to that. And we've got a really good the agenda will be out today, actually. So there's an update on progress on community-led development and also the blueprinting across the district, and it includes Raglan as well. So there's a number of projects, including the destination management organisation work that we've done around looking at what we've got in terms of accommodation and activity providers in Raglan. especially yeah. after the last couple of years that we've had. We, you know, tourism took a hammering.
Yeah,
in a
yeah.
way, international tourism. We had a lot of tourism domestically.
Yeah, we didn't do as badly as like Queenstown was the poster child for a town emptied out of tourists.
Yeah, yeah, and we so. Were lucky. We you know, we had a lot of domestic tourism. So we really wanted to do a body of work to find out what we actually have in Raglan, particularly around accommodation, because we don't have that many big accommodation providers anymore with, you know, Palm Beach, you know, not operating as accommodation. The same with the Kariwi Lodge.
So is Palm Beach housing permanent residents these yeah. days or something? I heard something about that.
Yeah, so they have been since we went into the first lockdown in 2020.
So that's housing crisis, result of the housing crisis, I suppose.
But also they saw a need that was there. And
yeah, and the need yeah. was because there was a housing crisis.
Yeah,
so.
And so they decided to just have that in long-term accommodation for yeah. people within yeah. our community. So that's great. So, yeah, so we really needed to try and find out what bed numbers we have and what capacity we have, because it sort of makes sense, especially if you're running events or you're planning an event calendar, for example, to know what our capacity is if we were to encourage people to come and stay overnight or for a couple yeah. of nights. So yeah. I'm looking forward to that update from our staff. And then we've got community engagement as well, and it'll be we've got one item on the agenda, which is a funding application for the Rural Fund. We used to have the discretionary and funding committee in council. We yep. no longer have that, and the funding now comes through the sustainability and wellbeing committee. So we've got one application, which would have normally been to the Rural Fund, coming to speak to us on Wednesday. So that's exciting.
So what sort of things do the rural community apply for funding for?
Well, this one is actually for a community newsletter, sort of newspaper.
Interesting. I'm very interested in that.
Keep an eye out, and you can go in and look at their application. They, I don't think they've got an example of their work, but there's also the adult literacy have come through on the rural funding. This was in the last term when we yeah. had the discretionary and funding. Other newsletters out in the rural communities that found it a very good way of connecting with the different communities in the district. So, it varies. It just depends on what initiatives are happening.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
okay.
I'm looking forward to hearing from that. And we've got also our emergency management update, and I caught up with Clive Morgan, who's the executive manager on the committee with me. So I call him my right-hand man.
Yes.
So he's able to support the committee running when we have our hui. And we did say that it's probably a little bit obsolete, the report that's been written by Kurt and his team, because of the weather that we've had just over the last, you know, 3 days.
Yeah.
So, and it might even change, you know, up to Wednesday, because there might be more weather that's coming through.
I heard there might be more. Yeah. Is this ever going to stop?
That's exactly right.
I thought it was going to stop. I thought that, like, those warm air streams that were coming down from the tropics, I thought April was going to be the end of that. I'd seen someone say that, but
and NIWA has indicated that the weather might be poorly next week, at the beginning of
next
week.
So
I said to Clive, it's a moving feast in that sort of emergency management space, and that maybe in the future it might have to be an oral, you know, a verbal report, because it's already changed what's the content of that is. And we've also got a heritage strategy update as well. So, yeah, so it's all of the I feel really pleased or really lucky to be the chair of this committee, because it's the things that I feel really passionate about.
Yeah.
And we're lucky to have someone like Rachel Goddard as our climate
advisor.
You know, advisor and counsel.
Yeah.
Counsel. She comes with a really significant amount of experience. And also myself and some of my fellow counsellors, Marlene Raumati and Fire Tilly, we met with Rachel last week to go through sort of the Māori view of climate, and that was fantastic. So we're looking forward to developing that more.
Okay. So I think, are there any upcoming bylaw reviews? Council's always reviewing its bylaws. Is there anything?
There is. Well, you would have seen in the community board agenda for last week's hui around the pre-engagement for freedom camping. So we're to input into that. So that will be coming out for full consultation around freedom camping in the coming months.
And that's basically probably of interest to people will be the areas where we're banning freedom camping. Because you can't ban
prohibiting.
It. Prohibiting, sorry, you can't ban it outright according to the law.
And you know, it gives us an opportunity to rethink where and what we've done previously and put things in place. So that's coming up. And there'll also be our, we'll be going out to consult on our new community statements that will be part of our long-term plan, and I can talk about that more. We've been working with our community boards and community committees, and Dennis has been involved in that, what those statements are. And so we'll be going out to consult on those with our community as well.
So kind of like a statement of intent, the purpose of the...
The overarching sort of statements, you know, around infrastructure and that. But we can talk about that more.
Yeah, we'll save that. We'll save that for another time, because I think we're done here.
Yeah.
So thank you for coming in.
That's a pleasure. Thank you, Aaron. Have a great weekend and stay safe, everyone. Enjoy the fine weather. Long may it last.
Yes, it's going to be a good weekend. Thanks for coming in, Lisa.
Thank you.